I was at a parishioner's home, and on the wall was a print of some birch trees, horses, and a rider. And the work is that of Bev Doolittle, entitled Sacred Ground. And she is known for her paintings of American West. One of the distinctive element of her aspect of her art is known as camouflage technique, in which she puts into the detail of her art other subjects so that some people can see other things, maybe like eagles or Native Americans within the detail. But it's camouflaged within all of the other color and photo. But when you first look at the artwork, it seems to be just a picture of trees and a man riding a horse. At first glance, when one sees that one thing, but after someone kind of points out the detail, you can see something more in the print. So the print, this one in particular, The Sacred Ground, is known to have three eagles that are outlined like ghosts using the different colors found in the birch tree. And it's supposed to give a sense that the man is being hunted by them who is following them. When I was at the home, the parishioner pointed to something to me and told me that I should see an eagle there. But I didn't see it. And I started to say, I think I see it here, you know? And I started to point, and I said, I think here's the head, and it's facing this way. And he said, no, it's facing that way. I said, well, then I have to admit, I don't see it then, because I was thinking I was going to see it. But I only saw trees and a horse and a man. And those kinds of prints, though, once you see it, it always becomes easy to see after that. And this is just like what the disciples are experiencing in today's gospel. It says that Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Now, they had not understood the significance of the Last Supper on Holy Thursday night, when Jesus celebrated the first Mass in the upper room. It was hidden from them. We could say that they could not even understand. They could never really understand the complete picture yet, and the deeper meaning found in the events, especially the Eucharist. But after Good Friday and the crucifixion and then the resurrection on Easter Sunday, they began to see. Only after that, they began to understand. And Jesus comes to them, and as he does the same thing, the breaking of the bread, they see the connection, the deeper meaning. You know, and that's why they say they started to recognize him in that breaking of the bread. They also didn't understand all that Jesus had said to them while he was with them. They could not understand because it had not all taken place yet. They didn't have the bigger picture or the deeper meaning because the suffering, death, and resurrection had not happened yet. So only now, at the end of all, they could look back at all the things that he had said and see some connections. It says that Jesus told them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then it says, the scripture says, he opened their minds to understand and to be able to see. I mean, after all that they had come to experience, they were now ready to understand, ready to come to know the deeper meaning of Jesus' coming. Only then would they be able to understand the deeper meaning of the Eucharist, you know, and the coming to know him in the breaking of the bread. And then, of course, only now could they understand the bigger picture of what this event would mean and how it would change the world forever. So the gospel then says that Jesus asked them, "Why are you troubled? Why do questions arise in your hearts?" What happened in that encounter between the resurrected Jesus and the apostles, whatever that was, it caused questions to arise in their hearts, in the hearts of the apostles. And questions are so significant. Questions are such a great gift from God, because it's only once the question is formulated that the answer then can be sought out. You know, the Catechism of the Catholic Church in paragraph 33 says, with this openness to truth and beauty, his sense of moral goodness, his freedom and voice of his conscience, the human person questions himself about God's existence. See, the gift of questioning is a great gift that God gave us because it moves us to seek answers. And questions can become very threatening, though, for a lot of us, especially when asked by people who think we should know the answers by now. I sometimes see the helplessness on a parent's face, you know, when their children ask them questions about God and the faith, and they have no answer. So instead, they tell the kids, go ask the priest. He'll give you the answer. Or still, when someone from another religion maybe comes knocking on your door, or maybe over a cup of coffee, starts asking a Catholic why question, you know, why he or she believes something, and the Catholic has no answer. I don't know. Right? And many have been taught to not ask questions. You're supposed to just believe. I was told a long time ago, don't ask any questions, just believe. And others say, well, you know, the nuns taught us when we were in second grade. And that would be the faith formation teachers taught us when we were in second grade. Which is good to say when one's in the third grade, right? Because you can remember. But not so nice to say when someone is 30 years old, thinking that, well, in the second grade they taught me this. Because really, the questions God plants in our souls are invitations to go deeper in our faith, to grow to another level in our relationship with God, to see things in our faith that we hadn't seen before. You know, to come to know things that we didn't even realize before in a new way. And this is what we see happening to the disciples. I mean, things are changing for the way they even understand faith. Hopefully, it's happened to each one of us here. And it continues to happen every day of our lives. When the questions stop, we could easily move toward apathy. And you know, and I know how to deal with lots of people who have lots of questions. And even some people are even angry because there's at least some passion there, you know. But it is really hard. Really hard to deal with someone who's apathetic, who doesn't care at all or couldn't care less. Because where do you go with that? What could I possibly say to someone who doesn't care to have any faith? How does God work with a closed heart and a closed mind? So I'd like to close this with a section of a poem by Elizabeth Barrett Browning, you know, and it goes like this. Earth's crammed with heaven. Every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit around and pluck blackberries and daub their natural faces unaware. May God open our minds and our hearts and plant questions within our souls to help us see that there will always be more to all of this than we could ever realize.